to serve him with gladness, and knowing that without him, nothing would be possible.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
There is something that I want to do this morning as I gaze over the congregation and just sense the need for in our services. I want to pray for, and I want the church to be in prayer with me, for all of our, the male factor, men. I'm going to preach to you this morning, Lord's willing, from the power to restore. And it was just placed in my spirit that men, as it's outlined in the Word of God, is a missing entity in today's church. Not missing in many other things, but in the church. Men are missing. They even got signs and slogans talk about real men love Jesus. And some wear it very proudly. But their lifestyle and the way they live do not line up with what God has outlined in his word. Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to dishonor anybody who's here or not here. But just feel compelled to pray over our men that are here. Because I preached a sermon a few years back, and some of you familiar with it, where God can use a few good men. But even though we must not come complacent in just showing up, a real man understands his responsibility. He understands his responsibility as outlined by God in his word to take dominion, to lead into the articles of the Word of God, how to lead, and how to stand up and be a man. So as I call all the brethren, young and old, to meet me at the altar to pray for the power of who we are, or more so who we should be. If men, would you join me at the altar?
Hallelujah.
And let's pray together. Bring that boy with you. Bring the little baby boy with you for the power of menship. No, this is not Father's Day and it's not Men's Day, but it's a need among us. Superior, let the sister handle that. She can roll it. She's very capable. And first and foremost, gentlemen, I want to thank God for all our ladies.
Yes, yes, yes.
Who's held up the bloodstained banner. Yes, yes. While some of us were slacking our call. Now, if you're a real lady, you learn how to pray for men. Because you recognize the need. And you also recognize what the enemy is trying to do against our men.
Yes, yes, yes.
How many know with a strong man,
come on, Pastor,
you can accomplish many things?
Yes, yes, yes,
and defeat the enemy.
Hallelujah.
As we go forward in the things of God. And I believe in my heart, according to the word of God, the blessings come through the manservant. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I know I might not get amens across the room with the liberation women that try to take us, but let me tell you something. God called man to lead. Now, certainly not. Listen, they've dropped the ball and women had to do what they had to do.
Yes.
And they must let them know that we thank God for you.
Amen.
But we're going to groom some men.
Yeah.
We're going to groom some godly boys to grow up to be godly men. Yeah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your divine spirit.
Hallelujah.
That, Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for every male factor that stands at this altar.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father God, that we will be reunited, we will be restored, we will be delivered, and we will walk in the faith of God. Father God, even our young boys will be able to look at older men and see the glory of our God. Father God, teach us how to be responsible to you, Lord, first and foremost. And then when we're responsible to you, Lord, we know how to treat our family. We'll know how to treat our young girls, and we know how to raise our girls and to be there for them in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you right now for the few men, the men of valor, who's standing on your word and will not deter from your word, God. But by the glory of God, they thank you right now for the privilege to serve you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for these men, these boys, and these young men and older men who full of wisdom and knowledge, that, Father God, by your power, we will see them grow and be strengthened in the things of God. Lord, that we might not be dictators, but we will be examples for the world to see. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we know that you brought us here for a purpose. Father God, not that we're just breath and britches and making babies, but to be able to live a life that exemplifies the goodness of God and your glory, hallelujah, by the power of your spirit, that we have power to overcome everything. We'll put the devil under subjection, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Every sickness, every hindrance, everything that tried to come up against us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we claim it to be so right now. That we are men of God. We are standing on the promises of God. And God, if you're looking for somebody, you can use us.
Hallelujah.
For your glory. We thank you right now.
Hallelujah.
And we bless you. Thank in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Go in peace.
Hallelujah.
Go in peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We live in a, I think most of you can agree, we live in a mixed up world. In amens? A mixed up world where people don't know who they are. So sad. And it's a growing trend in our society to see women who want to be men and want to carry themselves as men. It's a burden thing. It's a horrible thing that in our society and what we need to understand as believers and see that they're standing up and yet we're sitting down. We need to stand up for the sake of righteousness. And this is not what my message is about this morning, but I just have to say something to this. And I believe if I'm ever approached, and I'm not going out finding ways to come against people. But if I'm ever approached to say anything about the subject to them personally, and especially those who feel like this, you know, this is God's plan for me. You know, I would simply say to them that if you are designed by God and you believe in God, then God told us to be fruitful and multiply. Now you show me. You show me, if you leave two women here on earth and tell them to be fruitful and multiply, it's not going to happen. You leave two men here on earth and tell them to be fruitful and multiply. Then they will come back and say, well, we can do some of the artificial stuff, but no, that's not the nature of God. Oh, you can fix things up to make it happen, you know, but if you want to follow the nature of God, God has a plan, and he made it very plain in his word that a man and a woman could be fruitful and multiply. I wouldn't fight him. I wouldn't be mad with him. I would just simply let him know that let's just make reference to what God said. I ain't hating nobody. If that's your choice, then that's where you standing before God. But you ask me, I'm going to tell you. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all pray for me, huh?
Pray for me,
because I just pray for the brother. Everybody happy in the Lord?
Happy, happy, happy.
Let's talk about, I'm going to preach a sermon, a series on this message this morning, the power to restore. The power to be to restore. We need to first understand that in order to be restored, you must first have something. You cannot restore that you never had. You got to first have something. Either we can lose it, it can be taken away, or perhaps it can be given away. But you must have something. Most of us are familiar with the scripture that talks about and identifies the adversary, the devil, and his purpose. Although we know he wants to take from us, we must give close attention that sometimes we just give to the enemy's camp. You don't have to take it. We give it to him. Or we perhaps lose it because what we don't use, it lose. I believe this morning if the roll was called that most of us would want to be healed of the afflictions of our bodies and the well-being for our families. Yet if we be honest and bring some things to our attention, we bring sickness on ourselves. Many of them, we bring sickness. Now, y'all ain't got to say man, because see, a lot of people don't want to face the truth. We bring sickness on ourselves. It's not what we eat. Most of the time, it's how we prepare to eat it. I have a friend who eat collard greens raw. Needless to say, if you look at him, you wouldn't know he was 75 years old. But he eat collard greens raw because he don't want to rob the nutrition out of collard greens. So therefore, what he's saying to me, as I understand him, I'm not big on collard greens, but I know most people lack a little meat in their collard greens. Most people lack a little seasoning in their collard greens. But what does that meat and seasoning do? It actually appeals to our flesh. It's not helping us nutritionally or helping us to build ourselves up and strengthen the Lord, but it's helping us to satisfy our tastes. Have mercy. Many times we know that if it's not good, most of us won't even eat it. But what I'm learning is that sometimes the things that we have to adjust our taste buds, some of the things that don't taste good are generally the best thing for us. Now, it's accustomed to us. We were raised up with it, and many of you, just like I was coming up, when we introduce our children to seasoning. How many of you can remember coming up as a child when the parents eat all the chicken off the bone, leave a little bit on the top, and hand it to the baby? That baby began to gnaw on that thing and taste that little seasoning in it. And also it feels good on the gums. But there is no nutrition that they're growing from that. All we're doing is setting them up for things to come. Somebody gonna follow with me. And then we come so accustomed to, if it's not seasoned right, we add seasoning to it to satisfy our taste buds. So now we take a pill to keep what God has already purposely made us perfect. We take a pill to bring down our eating habits. Hallelujah. Yeah. With our cholesterol, when we can take our food that we do eat and broil it or bake it, but yet because of the taste and the texture of fried chicken and fried fish and fried turkey and fried pork chops and fried fat bag. That we indulge in those things, yet we saying, God heal me. But God does his part, and we turn right around and work against the very thing that God delivered us from. Lord, I truly thank you for this food. Let it serve to be nourishment for my body. In Jesus' name. Give me two more pieces of that chicken. Give me another piece of this right here. Give me some mac and cheese. But Lord, I know it's not right, but you bless it. Am I preaching to somebody other than myself? I'm not, like I say, now other than myself. I don't care how small your frame is, you still can eat wrong. Don't fool yourself because you small that you healthy. Am I preaching the truth here? So you got to understand something. You can look good, but you ain't got nothing going on good in you. Because we'll say that. You look good, but you don't know I'm falling apart. Have mercy, Jesus. I apologize for not remembering the country where this guy was speaking. They was making the terms of how people live to be 100. Key word here is that they live to be 100. They don't merely exist to be 100. In other words, they went on and told us that in this document that what people in that country do, they reach 100, around 100 or more, and they die. Not from sickness or even old age. But they live to be 100 and die. What that man was telling this 83-year-old man who was walking around looking very vibrant was explaining to us that he walked 6 to 10 miles every day. Every day. And he said he's very cautious about what he allows to enter in his body, the temple of God. He said very little meat go in there, but a lot of beans and green vegetables. So that let me know that God has healed us, but how are we walking in our healing? Then some of us, many of us know that we're in and out of the doctor's office, hospital, but yet we refuse to change our styles of treating ourselves. Amen, somebody. We feel that the more is the better. Why do we have, now listen, preach to yourself, Scott. Why can't I just eat to satisfy my body rather than stuff myself and be miserable? All this is going to come together with power restored because they got to set it up and it's going to be a while. But see, what I'm truly understanding about the way of living is that do I eat to live or I live to eat? Somebody can't stop thinking right now what I'm going to do when I leave here. I had my neck bones on all night and they just ready now to put the beans in them. Hallelujah. Get some rice to go with them and bread. Have mercy, somebody. And some of us have the audacity to say, because I was young, I can eat like that. You don't have to eat like that when you're young. We have to teach each other how to do the things of God and keep our body in a way that we can use for the glory of God and God can use us for his service. See, one thing I've learned about preaching, I've been doing this for a little minute, is that I can't preach just what I do. But I got to preach the truth. Because everything that was said in earlier today, everything that was said, I'm guilty of it. But I thank God for giving me a chance to see it and straighten it out. Isn't that what it's all about? Once you learn something, straighten it out. How many of us are tired of taking medicine? Come on now. See, you in the church, stand before the Lord. Are you tired of taking those medications? Are you tired of being sick? Are you tired of being with no energy? Are you tired of can't getting around? Change your ways.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Yeah.
I don't care what you say. I'm going to have my mac and cheese. I don't care what. Well, go ahead. You go right ahead. And we'll send you a flower. We'll send you. You know, we'll do those things, but we got a choice that we can turn from those things. Are y'all following me here? Man, he ain't preaching this morning. What are he talking about? Point being that when God heals us, we don't walk in and maintain ourselves and grant it what he has granted us through his mercy. Eating to me is almost like when I was drinking. Eating to me.
Come on.
Sometimes I get so stuffed and so full, can't do nothing but lay down. Can't move, barely can breathe. I know I'm not the only one, so, you know, I don't mind speaking it. You know, you got to take pants loose. You got to put something with elastic around it where you can get some space to breathe on.
Yeah, tell it.
Amen. Don't want to reduce yourself, but just buy bigger clothes. Don't.
That's it, Pastor. That's it.
Preach the truth. I want to bring to your attention this morning that there are a few powerful principles to restoration. The first principle to restoration we're going to talk about this morning is ownership. Ownership. For those of you who are making notes and you've been compelled by some of the things I spoke this morning, let's start looking at this. And you write in your notes and you look over them daily. And the first thing I want to bring to this principle is ownership. Ownership. Please turn your Bibles, if you have them with you, or it'll be on the screen, to the book of Haggai, the second chapter, the 8th verse. B, could you cut this fan on for me down there, please? The book of Haggai, the second chapter, the 8th verse. Hear what the Lord is saying here in Haggai, the second chapter, 8th verse. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now, how important is that for us to understand that everything belongs to the Lord? Now, turn your Bibles real quickly to the book of Psalms, Psalms 24 and 1. Because many times we forget that we try to take ownership of things that we don't even own ourselves. In the book of Psalms 24 and 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath found it upon the seas and establish it upon the floor." Other words, he's saying everything, even the earth and heavens and everything, belongs to him. So quit going around trying to feel like you have ownership of things that you're going to find out how he has called us to manage it, and we don't own it. Are you following me? First Chronicles 29 and 11. It says in 1 Chronicles 29 and 11, "Thine, O Lord, is greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the earth, heavens, and the earth is" who? Is thine. All the majesty, all the glory, all things that are happening here on earth and in heaven, it belongs to God. "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." Can I bring this home to you? The ownership that God has here, he's letting us know that whatever you're contending with, I have the remedy because it all belongs to me. That's God's word. He has the remedy to help us understand that whatever I need, I'm just temporarily using it because it don't even belong to me. Anybody ever loan anybody something and they had it for so long until they claim it them belonging to them? Man, that thing wrecked my nerves so bad. I know it's mine, but you didn't let it go on so long, you don't even know how to approach the person, and they just walking around like it belonged to them. That belonged to me. That's mine. Amen. They just going along like it belonged to them, you know, like you, if you want to borrow it. No, I want to borrow it. That's mine. Get it back. Isn't that what God telling us? He said, "I belong. Everything you have, everything that we have, God said it belongs to me. Hallelujah. And I'm simply letting you use it. But now you're using it not for my glory, but you're using it any kind of way." And God said, "I'm getting it back. I'm gonna get it back." Unlike me in my circumstance where I want it back, God will get it back. Amen. Second principle. We should understand. We should understand the authority of God. God has authority. It's a difference in owning something, but you don't have authority over it. "Let every soul be subjected," as it says in Romans 13 and 1. "Let every soul be subjected to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God." And the authorities that exist are appointed. Listen to what they say now. The authorities that exist are appointed by. So in other words, God has the authority to give others authority. You can't bring authority on yourself. God gives that authority. That's why we call up the men. God gave us some authority. But we forget where the authority comes from. We like to boast around like, this is my house. This is mine. I worked for this. I did this. But God let men know that, listen, I have the authority here to give to you, but you have abused the authority. I'll take it from you. Now watch what the devil does. The devil make us think that we don't, that God, it don't belong to God. Look over the building. Look over the building. It speaks volume for itself. If I realize who the owner is and who give me my authority, I'm going to acknowledge him as God over everything, who has the authority over everything. Y'all follow me here?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when I go to work in the morning, I know where the authority lies on my job. Hallelujah, somebody. Because it says in the word, he has appointed some authority. And so when I'm every place I go, listen, in my household I have authority. Even in the church, I have some authority. There are other places I might have authority, but when I go to my job, I don't have that kind of authority. Am I making plain to you? Some of us got to realize if God has the authority and the ownership, how many know he can speak to things and things happen? Oh, y'all saying it like you don't really believe it. You not falling under the authorship of your job and they can speak you fired. How you going to react? You will listen. How many of us ain't got two pink slip? How many of us ain't got written up for things and you know that, listen, now if you, I'm giving you warning by the authority. Now next time you out the door, how many of us heed to that authority or next time we know we gone? They have the authority to do those things. Now, what happens in the church, people don't want to acknowledge that God has the authority, so they do what they want, when they want, how they want to do it. Not just in the church, but even the ways of life. Men don't want to, men don't like to be on authority. I'm not going to stand up here and listen to another man tell me how to live. Well, this man that I'm talking about, not myself, but the one who made it possible for us to be here. The authority that I speak is through the word of God and what God has to say. Because I'm going to show you right here in a minute. It says that Jesus said in Matthew 28:18. I got a few people who follow me. The Bible says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to who? In heaven and on earth. Now, let me tell you how that works. Jesus was a man operating here on earth just like you and I. But he was God in the flesh. But he knew his authority came from God. And God had to extend it to him. Amen. So now the authority that God has have given, and I'm going to speak to this a little later on, that he gave to the apostles, the same authority I have, I give now to you and to the church. So now people in the church got to understand that you have authority based on what has already been given by God. How many know that when you speak to your situations, you can speak on it because you have given the authority? You can't go around saying the name of Jesus just because it sounds good. Some folks just love to say in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But you, how many know there's authority that comes along with that? You have the right to use that name. Hallelujah, somebody. We put in reference and all the time on job applications and things that we're part of, and you tell people, look, I put you down for a reference. And you can speak by the authority in which you know that individual, but some people want you to lie. And then, you know, I have to tell people something. Now, I'm going to tell the truth. I just tell them straight. Now, I'm going to tell the truth. I ain't going to lie now. And then they say, okay, I'll get back with you then. Because some people want me to put down there, they're in right standing with the church. They're regular attendees. They give themselves. And they are team players. I'll be lying for some folk. Amen. I tell them, they come every now and then. I know them because their mama used to be here and their daddy did faithful in the church. I know them that way. I did baptize them, but I hadn't seen them much since.
Tell it.
But that would be the truth And how many know if you don't operate in your authority properly, God will take that authority from you. And your authority does not have the power behind that which is already given to you. How many know because what's behind your authority, what gives it power? I come in the name of Jesus. I come in his name, not of myself, but in the name of Jesus. Now, when I come in the name of Jesus, the Bible already told us that the Bible at the name of Jesus, what happened? Demons. Now watch this now, see, because a lot of people miss this. Demons tremble. Demons are plural. How many know that you don't deal with one devil? You deal with demons. You deal with thousands of spirits. He don't just deal with you when you're here at church. He deal with you in your home. He deal with you on your job. He deal with you when you're sitting down at the table. Have mercy, somebody. There's all kind of demonic spirits that try to overcome us. But the Bible said, the Lord said, I've got authority over all them demons. Look here, they got some power to do some things now. Y'all gonna help me preach for a minute? They got some power to do some things, but I've given you authority over those demons. Hallelujah. That you can speak to those demons and those demons have to get back. Hallelujah. Ain't it good to know that you can speak things to those demons and your children can be delivered? Now, I'm a big advocate of capital punishment. I don't mind cutting a little rum. But the thing is, you can't always beat it in them. You got to speak over that thing. By not the authority of yourself, but the authority that has been given. Now, listen, as we go forward in this, there's another component that we need to understand. If God is ownership and he is the one that has the authority, we got to understand that we must be accountable. We got to be accountable to God. How many people have really been in contact with God this day? Look out. Acknowledging him of who he is. Hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching to you. Acknowledging that he is God. Not only that he is God, he is Lord and Savior of my life. I no longer belong to myself. Y'all get this here. Because many times we have our own agenda and don't even recognize the agenda of God. That's why them brothers ain't here this morning. Some of them just got their bed stricken. They want to see the Masters. They're going to the Masters or something on TV, or they got a sporting event. They got to play a golf round. They got to wash the car. You know, there are things that the demonic spirit put over people with authority. And it influences others. Watch this. Be very careful and mindful that those who are growing and they're who are very tender in the spirit, meaning infants and growing in the spirit, how they're subject to follow those who are in authority. They don't see you here on time. They don't see you doing the things of God. They don't see you attend those times of learning the word of God and being a bit strengthened in the things of God. So those tender eyes and those tender ears, they seem to follow suit. And God gonna hold you accountable. Or we dress them up, have them looking pretty, have them looking nice. But then how many know that them rascals grow up? And they ain't cute no more. Amen. They ain't cute. They mannish now. Have mercy, somebody. Have mercy, somebody. That rascal done growed up. That little sassy girl done growed up. She was a pretty little cute little girl running around here. But now look at her. Can't tell her nothing. She's sucking her teeth. She don't know how to honor the word of God. She don't know what the word of God means to her. Am I preaching to anybody other than myself? You got to understand something. When God give you all of this and that God, he distributed among his people, he said, you got to be accountable. Amen. Friend, listen, this practical preaching and teaching, God give us a new day. Yeah. Right. How you start your day off with the one who gave it to you? Right. How did you start your day off with the one who gave you the day? Did you honor him first? Did you bless him and lift his name up? Did you let him know, Lord, it's all about you? You know what this day going to bring. I just need your strength You got the authority to give me strength to make it through this another day. That's why he said, I'll give it to you this day. All we got to get through is one day at a time. And how many know that when you go to the God who can distribute it and you're in right relationship with him, God will do just what he says. Hallelujah, somebody. But many times we put our agenda way before the Lord. Way before the Lord. Lord, I got this to do today. Oh, Lord, I wish I got this I got going on. First acknowledge who gave you today. I hope somebody put that in the notes. Now, you ain't going to shout this morning, but you're going to learn something. You're going to learn something or either you're going to dismiss it. Even before you let the devil know that, Lord, you got, oh, my knee hurting again this morning. Even before you speak that, speak unto the Lord. He's got the authority to heal your body. Hallelujah. Do we realize that this morning? Anybody in this building truly know that we have the authority for God to heal our body? God can deliver us from anything. How many know that? Listen, how many know that the same God who told a lame man to pick up your bed and walk is the same God that knows what we're going through? The same God, I don't care how old or young you are, the same God knows your trials and tribulations, and he can tell those storms in your life, peace be still. And them problems have to just stand still for the glory of God. How many know that this morning that you got a great opportunity to know that the God, the owner of everything, who has the authority of all things, has granted you something. And now you're bubbling with the praise of knowing that the Lord looked out for me. He could have looked over me, but he looked out for me. He gave me a chance. He gave me an opportunity. God deserves my glory because of who he is and what he's done and what he's maintained to do. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad to know that with God, all things are possible. Not just one or few things. All things. We had a good devotion this morning. Ain't my, well, all of them good to me. We can talk about what does prayer mean to you. Oh, hallelujah. And just to hear the believers to speak of what God, how they can go to the Lord. It's a grand opportunity to know that we can go to the Lord, but we can't go to our president. You go up there and tell me, I want to see Obama. Which Obama you want to see? I want to see the President Obama. Well, I'm a United States citizen. I got a right to see my president. How successful you think you would be? But we serve a God.
Hallelujah.
That we can go to.
Yeah.
In the morning time. Early in the morning. When you couldn't sleep, you can go to him. When President Obama and all the rest of them sleep, I got a God, the Bible says he never sleeps, nor slumber. So I can go to him anytime. Even when I'm messed up, I still can go to the Lord. And he has an ear to hear what I ain't got no witnesses in here. To understand that the power and the prayer that I can go to my God and he hears my cry and he comforts me and he pities my every groan. Do I have anybody in this building who knows that when they go to the Lord will hear them and the Lord will honor what you and I come to him? Isn't it good to know that you can go to him and you can cast all your cares on him? You can go to him and praise him. You can go to him and say, Lord, I need you. You can go to him and say, Lord, I can't make it. You can go to him with all manner of things and the Lord will make a way. Isn't that all right with you? Isn't that all right with the people of God to understand the power of our God? And then to know when I mess up. And Lord have mercy, we mess up. I want to talk to all these righteous people who think they got every dot, every T cross, every, y'all know the deal. I'll be glad to give y'all the mic and y'all can preach it tomorrow. But you know I'm talking to them people who feel like they got it all together. We all mess up. And the power of restoration to know that in spite of how I messed up, I still can go back. I still can go to the Lord. Lord, I know I lied. I know I cheated. I know I did all things. I know I didn't do the right thing. But Lord, I need you. Isn't that awesome? That's the God that we serve. Not based on our emotions, but sometimes you got to understand in a quiet moment of time to understand, Lord, I messed up. I didn't handle that right. I did bad. I know I'm not the only one. Some of us, if you be true to yourself, you know, sometimes we just missed the point. We handled it wrong. And the beauty of it going to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And the Bible says he will forgive us time after time after time. Now listen, unlike man, they'll hold it. Y'all know we're a whole star. Can't get past it. I can't forget that. It hurt my feeling. Like your feeling never got hurt. Can I talk to somebody who over 10? Your feeling, if it ain't got hurt yet, it's going to get hurt, and it's going to get hurt often. So therefore, we got to put things in perspective. Even I let my feelings get hurt and dictate who I am, I dismiss that thing and go about my business. That's some tough stuff right there. You know, hugs are not as tight as they once were. You know. You know, you see me, you just happen to go, oh, how you, I'm right here. How you doing? How we avoid one another. Amen. Let the truth be told. That's what we're here for. To get ourselves together and change our ways. All of us. Just like we got to change our eating habits. Come on, somebody. I want y'all to go home and then throw out them collard greens with that smoked meat in them. I'm going to start tomorrow. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to start tomorrow myself. I heard everything pastor say, and Lord, it was the truth. But after I finish this pot of beans and this cabbage with these meat in, I'm going to start tomorrow myself. Not tomorrow, tomorrow. I ain't throwing out my mac and cheese. I'm going to eat everything. Lord, he sure spoke the word this morning. That was true. How about y'all? Y'all going to be with me? Y'all going to start tomorrow too? I'm going to start tomorrow. Hallelujah. Don't the truth set you free?
Yes.
See, I can speak like that because I know what I've been going through. I know I'm guilty of those things. But I'm striving. The Bible said, let's strive to get better.
That's right.
Amen, somebody. Wait. Y'all going to try it?
Yes, sir. Tomorrow.
As humorous as it may be, y'all, it's serious business now. It really is. It's serious business. But it's good for us to laugh about it, but to understand that it's a matter of seriousness. It's our lifeline. It's our lifeline. And sometimes you have to take it, sometimes just things at a time. You know, just things at a time. And this is not biblical. It's just practical things, you know, practical. I made one week I said, you know what, I'm not eating any bread this week. And I had this thing for diet drinks. And I asked the Lord, give me strength that I eat no bread and no diet drinks. Drink no diet drinks this week. None. Absolutely none. And God honored that.
Praise him. Hallelujah.
God honored that. Listen now, hold on. God honored that. But I think what he honored more than anything else, my desire to try.
Amen.
And the will to just try to accomplish. And we know what the word of God says. All things are possible if we only believe. And I believe that we have authority over everything that goes on in our bodies. We got authority of that. That the temptations will come. But we have to fight against those temptations of those things that we knowingly will harm us. And we know that it will satisfy our flesh. We got it over in sexual things. We got that part covered, many of us. Especially as you grow older anyway. Ain't no problem, ain't too much fighting in that, no way. Oh yeah, we
look out.
See, some of y'all put that together a little later. But you look at these young people who got to deal with the sacrifice of keeping your body purposely clean for the Lord. and how important that is to God, more so than to satisfy our flesh. And that's all we fight against. This flesh wants it. It wants it. It thirsts after it. But if we continue to go toward God, God will give us strength to thirst after righteousness. Not just trying to say we're right, but live righteous. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. See, I believe in that God will heal all of us. But we got to live that way. We got to live that the just will live. We got to operate by faith. Amen? Now, quickly before we leave, the power of restore is coming to see for us to understand all that the Lord has given, all that he's given to us in one way or another. Watch how we do things in the years to come, in the Sundays to come, on how we have either did this. Either we have lost it, give it away, or perhaps the enemy has stole it from us. We need to know how to deal with those things. How many of us teach our children? I remember when the boy was coming up, I had to teach him how to hold his dukes. Put your left foot forward. You know, he was down here. Put him up. Because you don't only use them for throwing a punch, but you got to learn how to block a punch. I had to teach him that. Now, whether he did much with it, I don't know. But I did my part in showing what I know. Amen? Now, watch this in the church. Once you learn how to do some things, you got to exercise it. Put it into practice. Don't just be full of knowledge and don't use it. I know what he said. Put some seasoning. Where the salt at? Not salt in here. No, I can't taste it. What are you eating for? Eating for taste or for nutrition? One of the things we all gonna have to learn how, there's a thing called stop. You got enough. That do exist. I found that out very recently. I'm actually full. I got enough. But guess what? Greed kicks in. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it kicks in. I'm full. I'm sad. I'm just really satisfied. But greed kicks in. And you know what's there? That's where sin lies.
Come on now. Come on.
Come on, Christian people in the house. You sin when you let greed kicks in. The body says, I got enough. I'm good. But I got all this left on my plate. What I'm going to do all this? Throw it away? I got to finish it. Now, how many of us grow up like that? You finish eat everything off your plate. Everything.
Everything.
But I got enough. Eat everything off that plate. You put it on there, you eat it. But there is a thing called stop. You got enough. Amen. The power to restore.
Yes. Amen.
Only God can restore that which we have lost. Amen. Amen. Say thank God for that word today.
God.